Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
TalkSTL.com, Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the war room of the O'Keefe Think Tank, this is Real Spoilers, episode 131, in which we will tackle the box office report for the week ending November 1st. It was Halloween. Did you see a movie? If you did, then yes. You don't love your children.
Oh, on Halloween?
Yes.
Yeah, I work nights, so yes, I watched a movie.
You're working diligently, yeah. I see. So we will get to all that, but first we'll go around the table and we'll let everyone introduce themselves. We have a guest this week.
I'm Kevin Brackett.
He is not our guest.
I'm Joe Battisi.
He is not our guest.
I am Tim O'Sabin.
He is our guest.
Hey. I'm Dave Graney.
And I'm Tom O'Keefe. Now, Tim is from the band Fragile Porcelain Mice.
Correct.
Which is based out of, I shouldn't say St. Louis, I should say Granite City, right?
No, it's
represent?
Probably Belleville.
Belleville?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're all from Belleville.
Okay. Why did I think Granite City?
I don't know.
I'm a horrible person.
It's Illinois.
We'll fix all that. Yeah. When you live on this side of the river, yeah. It's like everything over there is just the same.
Chicago.
There's Chicago and then Granite City.
It's a frozen, hostile wasteland.
Yes.
Over there.
That's yeah. all it is. Yes. And then, but then you also have your own podcast.
Yes. The Tim Owen Harley Show.
Which has been around much longer than this one.
About 5 years.
Yeah. Wow. So yeah. Twice as long.
Mm-hmm.
So
wow, that was math.
That was math. Yeah, I'm glad it was easy math.
Sound math.
I'm glad he wasn't like 6.3 years.
He was like, oh, no.
Carry the one.
I do have an engineering degree, so
wow.
They use core math now, so I couldn't do it anyway.
I have a bachelor's in mass communications.
Yeah,
that I got. It took me 23 years to get. So I think that might be a record. But I got it.
You got it.
I did get it. So And you guys focus pretty much exclusively on horror movies?
It's pretty much horror, yeah. We do horror conventions, not every weekend.
Right.
But for a while, we're doing a lot of them. We don't do as many now. Mostly do Horror Hound, which that takes place in Cincinnati in the spring and in Indianapolis in the late summer.
Okay.
We do those almost exclusively now, just to kind of focus in our energies, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we go there and we vend. So my podcast partner is a screen printer, so he makes t-shirts and he does his own designs of, what did you do last time? Freddy Krueger Neighborhood Watch.
Nice.
Okay. So he comes
That's
up with
awesome.
His own little
yeah.
catchphrases. He had he actually did a political sign legitimately for a guy up in Ohio where he lives named Michael Myers.
Oh, really?
So he took the political sign, vote for Michael Myers. And just made it into a t-shirt.
That's pretty good.
That, so.
That's pretty good. I like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
So is it, and I'm not trying to get you in trouble, I'm just curious, is it small enough to where, do you run into problems with the copyrights? Or is it small enough to where like it kind of is under the radar?
No, because
it's parody,
well,
though,
first
right?
of all, most of the conventions are barely legal. When you think about it. I mean, people just, they sell
barely
posters.
Legal convention.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Pretty much. Yeah.
Creepy
yeah.
Joe like must be going
why?
To
why?
Yeah.
Why?
You
we
could
have to
take
go there
that either way, actually, and it probably works. Yeah. But, there's some people that have rights. If people are selling like some of the old Universal Monster t-shirts, they actually have, I don't know, year or two long contracts where they have the rights to do stuff like that. But right. a lot of it's original takes on horror. Like I was telling you, my podcast partner, his stuff, he doesn't put up Friday the 13th Part 2 and then have a scene there.
Right.
He stays away from
he's
that.
He's not putting like the poster on a t-shirt.
No, he's not. Yeah. Right. Correct. And there are people who do that, mm-hmm. too, as well, but...
I feel like that would probably fall under parody somehow.
Like those mashup shirts that are so popular.
Yeah, well, yeah there's so many different t-shirts like, you create your own take on it.
Yeah, like Loki charms.
Right, exactly.
Horton hears a Doctor Who. Yeah.
And it's funny, too, because like AMC has people walking around watching for people selling anything to do with Walking Dead.
Really?
Anything. Okay. And they will so report them. Yeah. But then again,
they'll just shoot you on the spot.
Right. Well, I mean, who owns the rights to Halloween? You know, so it's like you got to, at some point, they're like, just do what you want to do.
Right.
We're making enough money off this stuff, you know, and nobody really is.
It keeps it relevant. I mean, that's true. Yeah. It's sort of doing the advertising for them.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly.
Yeah, Walking Dead, I guess, is too hot of a property to mess around right now.
I'm sure Kirkman's like, whatever.
Yeah, I think if there's anything that's, that they're trying to actively license out, that's usually where they hit hard. And if it's stuff that, I mean, it's, you know, like I got something that's related to Big Trouble in Little China, they don't care.
Right. Yeah.
And even Carpenter like, doesn't care.
No, they don't.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Yeah, it's like George Lucas. He doesn't care if you make a fan film. So it's really if they want to come after you. If you're making a ton of money, they might come after you, but
But your Buckaroo Banzai slippers are probably safe.
Yeah. Yeah, Peter Weller's not coming after me.
No.
Well, not at his age.
Peter Weller might. He's like, hey, I need some of that.
He's a little off.
Teach me history.
Joel Kinnaman will come after
Joel
you now.
Joel Kinnaman will come after you. Yeah, yeah.
So, cool. Well, that was educational.
Yeah.
I've always wondered because I saw that you would go to the, like, you would promote your podcast. And I was like, we should do that, but what would we do?
A lot of people don't know.
They just sit at a table. And,
a lot
like,
of people actually broadcast from there. Although they'll record it from there.
Yeah.
And then they'll walk around. And most every actor and director that's there, they'll talk to you.
Oh, yeah. Man. But that means we have to wear pants.
No, not really.
You're sitting behind a table.
We're in.
Yeah.
Yeah, we get one of those tables with like with a skirt.
Yeah.
We can wear skirts.
I'm in.
Yeah. But they're a lot of fun. I suggest anybody try to go to them. Don't go to Wizard World. That's not a convention. People go to, I went to Wizard World. Really? It's a difference between.
It's like the McDonald's of conventions.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. It's a difference between going to a black tie party and going to a party.
Right.
Yeah. If you want to go to a party, you go to a convention.
That's like going to Van Halen and saying you like metal.
Yeah.
I mean, not like Van Halen. It's a good band, but
that's some heavy metal.
Yeah. It's not metal.
Yeah. I mean, like,
no.
Jethro Tull.
Yeah.
That's metal.
They got the Grammy to prove it.
Yes, they did.
Yes.
So, cool. Well, thank you for that. That was a walk down educational lane.
I like it.
I guess now we will do our shameless plugs and show notes. You thought I was going to forget, didn't you, Kevin? He's like, he's about to say box office.
Turn your eyes.
No, I'm not doing that just yet. Don't forget, we are available on iTunes. So if you want to go there and rate and review and subscribe, we would greatly appreciate it. If you want to leave a review, that helps us a lot. I know we beg for it every week, but it does make a difference over time. And gets us featured in places on iTunes where we like to be featured, as opposed to places where we don't want to be featured.
Correct.
Like mommy podcasts.
Is that a thing?
Probably.
It has to be.
There's mommy bloggers. Eventually, one of them's gonna.
I was gonna say, didn't they have one?
We
had one on the show.
Yeah, we did.
She did. Yeah. So there.
Yeah.
But she was one of the good ones.
She is one of the good ones.
She's like probably the good one.
She's a smart lady.
Yes. And likes to play in our sandbox. So that's good too.
Like Sharon Suchival.
Yes.
There it is.
I always remember her maiden name, and so I always have to stop and remember what her married name
is. Right.
So that's always like a brief pause for me. But if you want to go there and rate and review us, that really does help a lot, and we greatly appreciate it. Also, if you like the show and you want to share it, want to become one of the League of Show Sharers, as we like to call them, it'll catch on eventually.
Maybe.
Maybe.
You guys are good. I don't even say our website name.
Yeah, no,
I'm terrible at promoting myself.
We are
I'm awful.
Filthy sluts.
Yeah.
Jeremy Renner actually was referring to us, not...
What?
Yes. Jeremy Renner called Black Widow a slut.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
This is a comic book reference.
Well,
Joe.
He was just in the news again for saying something about Jennifer Lawrence's pay.
So which was weird.
Did he call Jennifer Lawrence a slut?
No.
But that's what I
think. No. Okay. The Jennifer Lawrence thing was she was saying how she found out that the men in American Hustle got paid way more.
Correct.
And she's like, well, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to fight for the money. And then Bradley Cooper made a comment about how he was going to start helping actresses get paid more appropriately.
Right.
And somebody asked Jeremy Renner if he was going to do that. And he was like, I'm just going to worry about my money. Like, yeah. I'm not here to negotiate. And then the internet got mad. And
he's not wrong.
And just to clarify, the internet got mad because somehow it's offensive that a man wouldn't help the lady get paid. Like, I don't think mixed messages. I don't think you know how feminism works.
Right, right.
Like you
just
were,
so we're clear.
You're literally mad because a man wouldn't step in and fix a problem for
you. Right, right.
That's what you're upset about right now. And he wasn't like she deserves to get paid less or she should. He was just like, you know what? I'm gonna negotiate.
I'm an actor.
I'm gonna negotiate my deal, and then I'm gonna go in and I'm gonna do my job. And it, you know, and you know what? You know what else? What other workplace is functions in that way?
No.
Every single workplace ever. Every workplace you have. Do you go to work and talk about how much you're getting paid with your coworkers?
Nope.
No. It's not a conversation that you have. Do you help them get paid more?
No.
No. You don't. No. You don't. You don't at all.
Nope.
It's not a political statement. You just don't do it.
None of my biz.
Ugh.
Newsflash, the internet is hypocritical.
Yes. I know, right?
And everyone is offended.
All the
time. Somebody needs to tell me where the on-off button is for minding your own business.
Yeah.
I don't remember where it's politically correct anymore.
It's not.
I always mind my own business.
Is there a way to like a brightness button where you could dim the outrage?
Yeah.
That would be helpful. So while you're on our Facebook page, which I haven't mentioned yet, so let me do that, facebook.com/realspoilers.
That's good.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
You can you can share the show with your friends or friend
maybe
if you just have the one
friend.
Yeah, but some people that joined the League of Show Sharers this week, Dustin Palmer.
Is that a new one?
That is a new one.
All right, awesome.
I'm a big fan of his cheese.
Shut up,
Parmesan cheese.
No, I got
That's
it.
Him.
I know what you were doing,
Dustin cheese.
That was a bit.
All right. File
next.
File it.
Yeah.
File
it. Chris Sanders and Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, and then Dustin Ayers. We're very popular with people named Dustin.
As long as it's not Dustin Diamond.
That's three people. I don't know. He's probably got a lot of people that follow him.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, I would take a share.
He's stabbing people.
We have three people named Dustin sharing
the show. Welcome to the show, Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah. Timmy Two Zones.
Yeah.
Share the show.
Good.
Travis T. Witt, who may or may not be in radio.
He hasn't gotten back to us, so we're not really sure.
And I didn't research it, so now I'm
now he's just super offended. He's like, you know what? I'm just going to share it out of spite.
He has an on-air name. Come on. T-Wit.
T-Wit.
He's got to be, right?
Yeah, you would think. Disneyland Matt, who he is in charge of quality control of Dole Whips.
Excellent.
At Disneyland.
Okay.
And then Lane LeVanway.
Ooh.
He went from porn star to romance novel.
Porn star to dollar bin romance novel cover.
Yes.
Cover
dollar
artist.
Bin. I thought he was the 50 cent rack.
Well, I'm just giving a little bump.
I mean, yeah, dollar store romance novel.
And Ryan, who I think I said his name wrong last week. I said Burdenbecker. It's Bridenbecker.
Okay.
So I said sorry.
Oh, he gave you the phonetic
spelling. No, he didn't actually. He was like, kind enough to not correct me.
Look, asshole.
But
this
is
how you say my name.
I just realized when I was looking at his name, like, oh, crap, I said that dude's name wrong.
Oh. And he did, though, so you don't read our messages either.
Yeah. Oh, he did?
Yeah. He did give you the phonetical spelling. Oh. Mine, yeah.
Whoops. Whoops. Well, sometimes when they send messages, if somebody else reads it before I do,
that's true, it
makes it not as a new message, and so I just scroll past it. So, and also, I don't care, Ryan, how you say your name, what it comes down to.
Ryan, we've done 131 of these episodes.
I'm just going to call you Birdie. I'm going to be like George W. Bush. I'm just going to start making up nicknames for all the listeners.
Yeah.
Birdie. Turd Blossom.
Wait, who's Turd Blossom?
Hat guy.
That's what everyone's going to be guessing
from now on.
Turd Blossom was his nickname for I'm forgetting, Karl Rove.
Yeah.
No.
Are
you serious?
Yeah.
Poo was Pootie Poo.
What's that?
Putin was Pootie Poo.
Pooty was
Poo.
It?
Holy cow.
Yeah.
That guy was president.
Mm-hmm.
That's a thing.
That was a thing?
Yeah. All right.
I don't know if that makes me feel better about him or worse.
It doesn't make me feel better about him.
I don't know.
That right now.
I kind of like the fact that, like, you kind of got to like that regular guy aspect of that. Yeah. You know?
He's just talking to his boys.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, Turd Blossom.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, man, how are you?
Hey, neck hair.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Nope.
Okay.
All right, good.
So,
has anybody talked to Pootie Poo yet?
So anyway, there's our shameless plugs, and I guess now we will turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready. Kevin?
I do, Tom. And this weekend, the movie that everyone expected to be number one at the box office, The Martian, with $10.7 million, week 5.
Wow.
Number one. What a surprise, especially with Halloween and, you know, Goosebumps was number one last week. That's pretty impressive that a movie in its fifth week jumped back
up. Did Goosebumps stay number one? I thought it might have got when it, like I think when they adjusted for it, I thought the Martian might have beat it out slightly.
Oh, really?
Last week. I
oh,
thought,
last week?
Yeah. I know when we recorded the episode, it was Goosebumps, but I thought when they adjusted it.
You know, I don't have, let's see here, I'd go into the I have to rewind the abacus. I have to set it back, so let me just.
I don't think that's how that works.
Let me just crank.
I think you could set back an abacus.
Yeah. Oh,
I think
yeah.
That's, I think an abacus is about as far back as you can go.
Yeah.
You just sort lean of counting it on your fingers and toes, but
just
we're.
Just lean it to one side or the other.
Yeah.
There it is.
That, we won't we won't let you count on fingers and toes because, God forbid, a movie makes $21 million.
Oh, goodness. No, last weekend, yeah, I think you may be right. The Martian did, I mean, by $200,000, the Martian did beat out Goosebumps. So Martian was number one last week.
Every little bit counts.
Yeah, so last week, Goosebumps.
A rare correction for the Real Spoilers podcast. Not that we shouldn't be making tons of them. It's just rare that we actually
right.
Did
it. Yeah.
So last weekend, the actuals, Goosebumps with 15.5 million, The Martian with 15.7 million. So this weekend, The Martian was number one with 10.7, a 32% drop in week five. So still extremely strong numbers. It's $182 million domestic. And then going over to the foreign side, it's made another $223 million. So it's up to almost $400 million worldwide on $108 million budget.
I think they released that right at the perfect time. There's nothing.
Well, they dropped it in right when Gravity came out. I've noticed more and more that Hollywood seems to be following that model of a certain type of movie did really well here. So,
let's do another one.
Like Tom Hanks has Bridge of Spies come out at the same time that Captain Phillips did.
Right.
The Martian comes out at the same time as Gravity did. American Sniper came out at the same time as Lone Survivor, the Mark Wahlberg military movie.
It did, didn't it?
And
you're
right. And that was a movie that, it's funny. It just kept chugging. That movie ended up making over $100 million.
Yeah,
and you don't think of it as a huge smash hit, but it just kept making money because there was just nothing else out. And so they were like, we'll drop in our other military movie there. And boy, did they get it right.
I don't know. I saw Lone Survivor, and I guess I liked Sniper better, except for the creepy baby.
Yeah.
That was the only problem.
It was only a minute of the movie.
Were you afraid there was going to be a paternity test?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was freaking out. Is it come back?
Creepy baby, creepy
found water.
What's that?
I think it has more to do with the fact they found water.
Oh, Mars?
I found that very fascinating. They had big reports that they finally admitted and said, that wet sand, there's water. Yeah, that's what it looks like. But it seems to me more interesting that they put the movie out right at the same time.
Yeah.
With Sniper and with the other one, how things are going bad over the Middle East. I don't know.
Well, also,
I think they're making money off of current events.
Yeah.
Wasn't there something going on with Chris? What was his name? Oh, it's awful. What was his real name? From American Sniper. Chris.
Kyle.
Oh, yeah. Kyle.
Well, there
wasn't there something going on in the news?
Well,
he was involved
in a lawsuit.
Jesse
that's
Ventura.
What it was.
Or his estate was involved.
Yeah. That's right. I mean, granted,
his estate lost that lawsuit.
It did.
Yeah.
It did.
Jesse Ventura.
I get it. I know we talked about this. It just sucks that they, the guy died, and especially with everything that went on, and then to still pursue that.
Well, it's not it was pretty awful because the clip that they always show is his widow on the stand, bawling the entire time.
Just, but I mean,
legit though.
That story was proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was just complete BS.
Yeah.
And so
it was definition of character.
If you're Jesse Ventura, you don't want people going around saying that, and I kind of, the way I kind of separate it in my head for American Sniper is, and I could be wrong, but just from the little bit I've seen, is that I feel like when he came back,
I know,
something had
something was wrong.
Yeah, that it was kind of like his version of PTSD, just how he would start making up these crazy stories.
I think he was using those stories to, granted, a complete speculation.
Yeah.
I think he was using those stories to cope, you know? And I mean, he was coming back as a hero, he was being touted as a hero, and I think that probably just was a way for him to stay away from whatever happened over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
Debbie Downer,
so the Martian.
Sorry.
Yeah. So
Jesus.
That means the last 4 out of the 5 weeks the Martian's been in theaters, it has technically been number one, even if by a small amount. And it was only beaten the week that Goosebumps came out, and now it's back. So yeah, good for that movie. Number two, Goosebumps. That one's the one that came in right behind it. $9.2 million. It's only a 41% drop for that one, though. It's in week three. It's made $56 million domestic so far. And that one on the foreign side only has $9.2 million. So it's at $66 million on a $58 million budget.
Interesting.
So, yeah, I expected, especially with it being number one or close to number one the last few weeks, I would have expected the gross to be a lot higher. But I guess that shows how weak this box office has been.
It's been very weak.
Last couple weeks has been rough.
Yeah, they can't. But Thanksgiving can't get here quickly. Yeah. Enough for yeah.
Next, no, Hollywood. Next week. Next week's going to be huge.
What's next week?
Spectre?
Spectre. Oh, okay. Yeah, that should be real money.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, I kept thinking, geez, Goosebumps number one. They've got to be loving this, but they're barely over its budget. And, you know, and if they only get half of that take at the box office, I mean, they have to effectively double what they've already done to even break even. Yeah. So this
something
movie
like
is,
that, don't you think they kind of anticipate that they're going to make most of their profit on home video?
Yeah, I've got to imagine, especially with a kid's movie, that when that does come out, though, and the kids will be watching it at home, buying it on DVD, renting, whatever. So just surprised with it. You know, you say number one movie or, you know, number two movie 3 weeks in a row. And
you think that would
it hasn't made any money.
Cash. Yeah.
Oops.
They don't panic. Believe me. Yeah. I talk to these people. They don't panic. It is the home. It's the home. Right. Yeah. That's where it all is.
That'll be huge. Kids movies. Yeah.
Yeah, especially. Sure. Right.
Number three, Bridge of Spies, made another $7.6 million. That's only a 33% drop in week three. So that is up to $44 million now. So that's getting some good word of mouth. And overseas, that has $7.4 million. So I think that maybe just opened foreign this past week. So it's at $52 million on a $40 million budget.
It's not too bad. So is that the one for me or the one for them? For Spielberg, we always
I feel like
he's always got a one for me, one for them.
It's hard to. I mean, it is kind of a more independent feel.
But
to
is his next one Ready Player One?
Yeah.
Then that's the one.
There you go. There's your answer.
So this is the one for me.
Yeah. Interesting.
Which I mean, because
that
those,
makes sense.
The one
though,
for
that
me
he would
is
do
go
the
like,
more,
they're like Amistad.
Right.
You know?
Right. This makes sense. Yeah.
And it's like you know Jurassic Park. And then so this is the one for me.
Yeah. That should be huge, I would think, or at least they're hoping for it.
Yeah.
What's kind of interesting is the book is so pop culture relevant and he's in the book and his movies and he said, I'm taking myself out of the movie that's too meta or, you know,
that's
just too.
That was like him in, Paul. He's in Paul when the alien where he gives Spielberg the complete idea for E.T.
Oh, yeah. So it'll be interesting. But yeah, I'm excited to see what they do with that. It'll be interesting. Number four, Hotel Transylvania 2, still making money in week six. That's $5.6 million.
Gross.
Apparently, Joe. Oh yeah, that's right. He has stock in anti Adam Sandler.
Whatever I can get.
So
he sold Sandler short.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The less money Sandler makes, the more money Joe makes in the stock market.
Yeah, it's perfect.
$5.6 million is a 37% drop, but that's up to $155 million domestic. And if I remember correctly, that did have some foreign money, $167 million. So a little over $325 million domestic.
On the upside, it means we at least don't have to look at Adam Sandler.
That's true. That's a good point.
Until the
thing comes out on Netflix.
There's lots of stuff on Netflix I've never watched.
Yeah, but that's true. That's like, a four-picture deal? Six-picture?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Oh, and speaking of that, did you see the trailer for that movie?
I saw the trailer came out for it. I didn't watch it.
Skip. I think I watched 10 seconds of it, and I had to stop it. It's like a Western movie or something?
Yeah,
I can't even remember.
It's the one we got in all that trouble
for. The Ridiculous Six.
Yes.
Yeah, with the Indians, right? There's Native Americans in it. And
they were upset. They weren't.
Oh, yeah. But anyway,
they're about as authentic as the Hikawi in F Troop.
Yeah.
See?
Tables
the old
turn,
boys. The old guys all got that joke.
Take that.
Nah.
Old timey reference. It's Joe's not making money in the stock market this week.
Nope.
Sorry, Joe.
Damn.
Number five, Burnt opened. That's the movie starring Bradley Cooper as a chef. And I don't know what any more than that.
He's an alcoholic who
aren't all chefs alcoholics?
I thought
that would be. I think it goes without saying,
I guess.
But he kind of did you
believe
it?
You watch Hollywood? That's true.
That's true.
Yes,
yeah.
I did see it.
And it's a movie. It's in color.
Okay.
It's not bad. It's just like I'm really like I don't know at what point in our culture we decided chefs were rock stars. But,
Gordon Ramsay.
But
that's when it started.
Yeah. I wish it would stop.
Yeah.
And I wish that would go away.
Nightmares is kind of where that started.
Yeah, and Bradley Cooper has played a chef before. He was on a short-lived show that was supposed to be like the next big show called Kitchen Confidential. Mm. It was based on Anthony Bourdain.
Oh, was he the Anthony Bourdain character?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And so, hang on. Excuse me. But it's, you know, I'm just not a foodie. So this whole, like, food porn thing, it just does nothing for me. Because I'm like, hey, look, there's something that I don't want to eat. There's something else I don't want to eat.
Yeah, you're definitely not their audience.
Yeah, and then, so I'm just like...
Was it way, like, were they way into the food in the movie?
Yeah, and honestly, though, if you want to see a movie about a chef and food porn that's way better, you got one waiting for you on Netflix called Chef.
Yeah, that's a
that
cool
movie
flick.
Is really good, and you don't have to be a lover of weird or exotic foods to enjoy the movie.
Right.
If you do... You will enjoy it even more, but that's
a Favreau one, yeah,
and that's I really enjoyed
that was a really good flick, yeah. That was another one that like, when it came out just kind of kept hanging around.
Yeah, it was like art house movie that just I think it ended up making like $50 million.
That's great. Yeah.
That's like Big Night.
Yeah.
That's a good movie. That's a great movie.
You know, where there's that passion and love for food.
Is that Oliver? Is that Oliver Platt and
Oliver
Tucci?
Platt, Stanley Tucci?
Yeah.
Monk. I can't remember his name.
Oh, Tony Shalhoub.
Thanks.
Yep.
But yeah, that's another one where there's the love and passion for food, and there's the great like visual representation of it.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's not the whole movie,
right?
I'm like, with you.
Everything that happens around it is the movie.
This is like he's a disgraced chef who's trying to regain his career. Blah blah blah.
Interesting.
It was fine. It was. Yeah. I just like
it got kind of torn apart by the critics.
Yeah,
it didn't do very well.
I mean, I didn't hate it, but I was just like, it didn't rock.
He's still living off that
Wizard of Oz.
But
still living off that Guardians money.
Yeah, but keep in mind that I just sat through Last Witch Hunter. So
that's a good point. Fair enough.
So it's gonna look like it's hard for not to walk out of a movie like
man, that was
like,
amazing.
It's better than Citizen Kane.
Now I just want to know, were the cooking scenes better than the pie making scenes in Labor Day? Were they more? I mean. Central
I always forget about that movie until you bring up that scene. I was like, oh, yeah, that's a thing.
That was a weird scene.
Yes, it was.
Yes.
That was Josh Brolin.
It was
like
Josh
you see
Brolin,
him in great performances on the big screen, and then you think, that was him essentially making a pie.
All right. That's the way they went
with
it.
Even Johnny Depp's got Mordecai.
Yeah.
You're going to swing for the fences, you're going to strike out.
He's got more than that.
I didn't make it more than 10 minutes in that one.
Oh, it was brutal. No. I sat through the whole damn thing.
Oh, no, not me. I was just...
I didn't make it through the trailer.
Wait till Yoga Hosers.
We were going to do it for an episode of the podcast, and I got out of the movie, and I was just like, there is no way we can do this. And I'm normally a proponent for movies that suck because they're fun to talk about.
It's truly outrageous.
But this wasn't even... Yeah, I was making the case for Jim. But
till Kevin thought that it wasn't relevant.
Yeah, but it made $1 million at the box office.
Wait a minute, that's
well,
not how
you
that
go
story
back and
happens.
Listen to that and tell me. No, I don't.
What we always say on our show is it's the cardinal sin. It's boring.
Yeah,
doesn't matter if it's good or bad. It's boring.
Yeah.
Right.
That's boring. Boring is bad. That's the cardinal sin.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Last Witch Hunter, boring.
And speaking of boring, The Last Witch Hunter came in number 6 at the box office. $4.1 million in week 2. That's a 62% drop from its abysmal opening. It's made $17 million domestic now.
The next one's going to be The Last Witch Hunter. Fast and Furious 9, The Last Witch
Hunter. Doesn't it seem like sometimes Vin Diesel is just grabbing at every straw
label
franchise?
That's what I said last week.
He wants another franchise.
But I mean, like,
that's mine.
I guess if your franchise, if the franchise you have now was struggling, I would understand it.
Right.
But that Fast and Furious franchise makes billions of dollars.
But I think even he knows
but
that they're on their seventh one. And
thank you. That's what I said. Everybody jumped my about
no,
it.
No, that's not really.
No,
his
he means he doesn't own it though.
No, but I mean like
not, Riddick.
It's an ensemble.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's an ensemble.
Yeah.
Piece.
Yeah.
But Fast and Furious is whatever the hell they're calling it this week.
Furious 27.
That it's you know it's. It's I mean, it's on its last legs. I know the last one made a ton of money, but there's only so...
They're going to do three more. That's what the report is.
What?
They're going to do three
new
more.
New trilogy, yeah.
Yeah, there's going to do three more, and then that's it. It's over.
Sure.
I don't know how they're going to...
Sure it is.
Yeah, right.
You're going to see Fast and Furious...
reboot.
You're going to see... one day you will see Fast and Furious 49, and it'll take place entirely on Rascals.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's going to be a prequel... And they're going to be in Model T's.
Yeah.
They're going to go
don't
old
Don't wreck
school.
Them. Don't wreck them.
Are those, what was it, Power Sports or whatever? What were those little car,
oh,
motorized
power
cars?
Wheels.
Power wheels.
Oh, yeah.
Power wheels.
Oh, do you guys hear who's directing Furious 8?
The guy that directed Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah, yeah. Director of Friday, right? Same
yeah,
guy.
Yeah,
Craig
yeah.
T. Nelson.
Yeah, yeah. Same dude.
Is that right?
Did you Craig T. Nelson.
Did you say Craig T.
Coach?
Yeah. Coach is directing Fast 9 or Fast 8.
What is his name? I can't remember
F.
his name.
F. Gary Gray. You racist bastard.
I don't think that's even
racist.
Racist.
I just can't remember.
If Craig T. Nelson. If Craig T. Nelson was right. black, then I'd be just, I guess then I'd be like, well, that's racist. But I mean, that was just a non sequitur.
Yeah.
Yeah,
just had right. initials in his name.
Craig T. Yep. Nelson.
Good but,
Lord. T. Nelson. Like, that's not even close. It's
I just couldn't
something.
Think of it. I couldn't think
initial something.
Yeah.
If you can't think of it, and
Brown
and
Crouppen.
Yeah. You know my law firm.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. But I don't know. That'll be interesting to see how if that. I mean, they originally said they wanted to go back to the roots. Like the original movie was a street racing movie, and now it's a superhero movie where you know they're doing all these crazy stunts, yeah. flying through the air, all this stuff. And
with
so
the greatest of ease,
right? yeah, on the flying trapeze.
Right.
But I wonder if because his films seem to be a little more rooted in reality, I wonder if they are going to go back to the street Ooh. Racing.
Oh,
yeah, they have to let the cars warm up in the winter. They go back like, outside.
They're not ready yet.
We can't race yet. That's why they do it in L.A.
Yeah.
They don't have to worry about it. And if you do it in St. Louis, you're like, man, I got like 20 minutes. I got to hold that car
I'll
up.
Go back inside.
Yeah. You started
scraping the ice. Hold on.
You let it warm up in the driveway.
I'm furious.
Yeah. You let it warm up in the driveway and you come out and it's
gone.
That's how Fast and Furious in St. Louis works.
Exactly yep. how it would work.
That's pretty good.
So, The Last Witch Hunter purportedly had a $70 million budget, and week two, wow. it's steadily dropping, and it's made $32 million total worldwide.
Did
so.
He try to turn anybody that's a lesbian in that movie not a lesbian?
Tom? If you weren't sleeping during
yeah,
that part.
Yeah, if was... he did, it was while I had dozed.
Okay, good.
Yeah. All
right. Just like Spider-Man 3.
These movies aren't going to be good. They're doing them in front of green screens now.
Yeah. No.
So the
not.
Acting itself yeah. cannot. You acting is reacting.
Act. Right.
It's reacting. Yeah. You can't react to a green screen.
That was the problem with
you
Ghostbusters
it.
2.
It's
Ghostbusters 1, practical
that's
effects.
That's so weird. Yes. I guess
Ghostbusters 2, you can't have Bill Murray in a room improvising against a green screen.
Yeah,
he needed to be in a room with Sigourney Weaver. And they had switched. Like, that was kind of the cutoff point of when movies really started to get aggressive with CGI.
Yeah.
And that's why that was the downfall of Ghostbusters 2.
Hmm. Oh. Interesting. I never thought about that.
Yeah, it's because I've noticed it. I mean, we do these movies. It's what
yeah.
we talk about.
Right, right. Yeah.
We don't like a lot of the new stuff because it doesn't have the same spirit.
Yeah.
You know, like the first Star Wars, they were playing against things that were there.
Right.
You know, stuff like yeah. that. And that's why the other three people, I guess maybe our age, if I may say that.
Yeah.
I didn't get into it as much because it was more eye candy than soul.
Right.
And definitely. I think that was the difference. And I
think Disney is part of the reason why Disney had basically a teaser that just speaks to the practical mm-hmm. effects of the new movie is because they want everybody to know. It's like, yeah, we have people in suits.
Right, right, right.
And mm-hmm. we're on real locations. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, that makes a difference.
That's pretty
why
cool.
Mad Max was so popular.
Yes,
yeah, I agree.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's practical. One of the best movies just, this year still.
They're out there driving.
What did they say? There was like 80 effect shots in that movie? Like,
which is insane.
Which is nothing.
Like Jurassic yeah. Park was the... Oh, really?
Yeah, I think...
Oh, in Mad Max?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like...
CG, you mean?
Oh, yeah, oh, like they CG'd
right,
in like
sorry,
the...
Yeah.
the I mean, they
it was,
are
and
on
it was
the trucks.
Mostly erasing wires and trusses
yeah.
and stuff.
Oh,
exactly.
yeah. They, yeah. He, like, cleanup. He color corrected. Like, that was one. He made the colors more vibrant. It
right,
just,
yeah.
I mean.
Could you imagine? The storm cloud, they, like, put in the storm. But, like, overall, they were all out there driving.
Well, that was actually, a real tornado they drove through.
Yeah.
Crazy. If he actually got Man of Steel 2. Like, that was the rumor at one point. He said, I'm not doing it. Could you imagine what his...
I think they were afraid, though, that if they had gotten him, that it would have been good.
That's what I was
and
afraid of.
And it's really
of.
Not what
yeah.
they're going for
no,
in
no,
the
no.
franchise.
And
it
would have
looked
a lot
the
different.
The more I've thought about this, the more I realize, I blame David Goyer. Like, I really do. Like, I think he's the problem with that movie. Because they brought in the guy from Argo. So they brought in Chris Terrio to rewrite his script. And I wonder if, like... he was the problem. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's like, oh, he did the Batman trilogy. I'm like, not really. Like, they had Joe Nolan as well to write that with.
Jonathan Nolan?
Jonathan Nolan, yeah.
Yeah.
Chris Terrio from Dance Fever?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. They brought him in. Yeah, they figured he's a great script doctor. Yeah.
Another
it's perfect.
Another old people.
Don Cornelius came in.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm interested to see, like, if I'm right, I think this movie's going to be pretty good.
So.
Sorry. Yeah. If the Argo guy rewrote on Batman vs. Superman.
There was a David Goyer wrote a script,
yeah,
and they brought in the Argo guy to fix it.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of script doctoring, though. I mean, not to say that. I mean, it happens all the time.
Oh, yeah.
You hear about it, you don't hear about it.
Quentin Tarantino began as a script doctor. He was a script doctor.
He was a huge script doctor.
He was an extra.
Yeah. But Quentin Tarantino was a script doctor on Crimson Tide.
Yep. You can tell which part it is.
You can tell which scenes. Anytime they're talking about comic books and Crimson Tide, and you're like, why are we talking about comic books?
Comic books and submarine movies.
Yeah, right. And then the other movie I know that he was a script doctor on, which is really weird, was It's Pat. Go figure.
Oh. Is that right?
But that's because of the Julia Sweeney.
But it does explain the Julia Sweeney presence in Pulp Fiction. Yeah. See? Things are connecting.
That's interesting. I never thought about that. Okay.
He was an extra in Darkman.
Was he?
Oh, really?
Yes, he was.
It's always funny
when famous people go, you know who, Bruce Willis was an extra in The Verdict.
Huh. Really?
You can see him in the final courtroom scene. Hmm. Yeah.
They're doing a reboot of Die Hard.
Ugh, yeah. That's
going to be like Bruce. You're going to see Bruce Willis in the bookends, apparently, from what I've heard. So Bruce Willis is going to be caught, like John McClane will have been caught.
Yeah.
They're going to do a flashback to John McClane as a beat cop in New York.
Oh.
And they're going to tell their story without Bruce Willis as John McClane, and then the end of the movie will be him getting away.
Lame.
Be him, yeah. I don't know. Like I'll watch a Die Hard movie that doesn't have Bruce Willis in it. Like if you can tell a better
movie, but you're talking about the John McClane prequel, right?
Yes.
So the prequel to when he was just a regular guy and a cop and not a superhero.
Correct.
And now we're going to find out how he became a superhero that takes place before the movie where he is not a superhero.
You know what's going to happen?
He's not a superhero until 4.
But right, you, so yeah. we're, this is a prequel
you know,
to one where
yeah.
we find out how he becomes
and
a superhero.
Know, yeah, you know what's going to happen is they're not going to be able to rein it in, and he's going to be a superhero,
right.
And then all of a sudden in the first Die Hard, he's not a regular guy.
That's the whole point of it. That's why this is stupid.
Let it go.
It's never going
to
happen.
So it needs to be a reboot.
Missouri Fish and Conservation will tell you it's a very important life lesson. Catch and release.
Yes.
It'll grow on you.
Yeah,
right?
Right.
Yeah. So it needs to just be a reboot, not a prequel, if that's what they're going
to
do.
You just need to stop.
Yeah, you just stop.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Same thing I said to my kids. You just need to stop.
Whatever happened to ripping off plots?
Yeah.
When I was a kid, like in the 70s and 80s, they ripped the plots off and gave different titles.
Yeah.
Now they give the same title and have a completely unfamiliar story they throw you into.
Yeah.
And that's another thing, especially in the horror world where I come from. It's remake after remake, and I keep sitting there going, why don't they either just call it another sequel? Because it would be a superior sequel.
Yeah.
But once you stick that title on there, the nerd takes over.
Right.
And then you start thinking, like making comparisons. The Evil Dead.
Except
remake.
For I was going to say Evil Dead. Did you like that?
It was an okay movie, but why didn't they call it Evil Dead 3 or 4? Because of Army of Darkness, you could go 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. And I mean, I watched that with Danny Hicks from Evil Dead 2. And we sat there watching it, and he loved it. And I'm like, well, yeah, but the car is there.
Yeah,
like the car is there from 30 years ago. They could have just called it another sequel and made every fan happy.
That's true. I guess they could have called it
something. That was the thing that bothered me the most. Is like,
yeah, and you protect yourself as a filmmaker from those comparisons, especially since Rob Tabbert and Sam and Bruce.
They were all
made
involved.
They made that movie.
Yes.
It was a good movie. No matter what they called it, though, but it was a legit horror movie, I thought. You know, like, it was pretty refreshing after seeing a lot of really crummy horror movies that had been coming out. And I liked it, but as far as what they call it, that's a great point.
Yeah, and that's why they're doing the series, the Evil Dead series.
Did you watch it last night?
I have a DVR, but I haven't watched it.
Okay, I haven't either. I heard it's amazing. It's renewed for season 2.
They already picked it up for season 2.
Before it came out for season 1.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So it looks great.
And
I can't wait.
Those are the guys we know because they're friends of ours. The whole group of people are friends of ours. And when Bruce told me about how they get the demon, I haven't seen it yet, but he was telling me how the demons come back. It sounded pretty fun.
I can't wait.
Is it an hour or half hour?
It's half hour.
That's
and that was the other thing that made me happy.
Yeah, that's awesome.
He said, Do you really want to know my backstory? I was like, no.
Yeah.
No, he's like, exactly.
We have it. We know it. Exactly. We don't need to know it.
Because I hate TV format.
Yeah.
It's just week after week, and they always write themselves in a corner.
Yeah.
They always jump
absolutely.
The shark.
Well, that's why the shows that seem to stand, network shows that seem to be better, are the ones that have the shorter seasons or only like half season shows. It's like when you look at a show like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. versus Agent Carter.
Agent Carter was actually awesome.
The better show because
they only had to do six episodes.
I think it was
six or eight, yeah.
It was great.
You know what's smart,
22, 24 episodes? Forget it.
I agree. I'm in the same boat that week after week on our hour-long shows, it's just like, God, there's hardly any action. It's just boring, boring, boring until you get to the end. But they should do what some shows do and split the seasons up into two halves.
Yeah.
Have a completely different story starting episode 13 or episode 12 or whatever, and then at least you're getting to two completely different plots in a season. But 24 of the same story is just like
it's the
24-hour movie.
It's the BBC way of doing it.
Yeah.
You know, like BBC does theirs in...
Three.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, three when you're hour
Sherlock
and a half.
Holmes.
Yeah. Three, yeah, but they become like, you know, mini movies.
Movies, yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Luther's coming back, too.
I think it's a half hour. The half hour.
Half hour is good.
It's that's half hour. He said all you people want is dead. Yeah. Is dead-eyed skin.
Yeah, let's just do it. Let's
you want to see me be stupid, and then you want to see them get knocked around. That's it.
He knows
what
the
else
formula.
Do you want? Yeah. Well, he hears it all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
He's on the front lines.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
Number 7, Paranormal Activity, The Ghost Dimension, week 2, only made another $3.3 million, a 59% drop, so that movie has made $13 million domestic now, which is just a huge disappointment, $17 million foreign.
Well, there's a reason for that, though.
What's that?
Why it's doing so poorly.
Oh, right, and it's the video on demand.
They wanted to shorten the window before it hit VOD, and the theaters were like, let us shorten that window for you.
Yeah, done.
let us close it. Yeah, and that's why it's on so few screens.
Yeah, so most of the major chains, you know, there were a lot of big ones that completely did not show this film. So you know, we talked about this a while back, you know, and we were saying that eventually I think there's going to be a breaking point where movies have to go video on demand, and this movie is pushing it.
And they tried it a while back. They were going to try it with that movie Tower Heist, Eddie Murphy and Brett Ratner movie.
Yeah.
And they were going to try and do a simultaneous.
They were.
And but it was going to be like $50 or something. It was going to be really high.
Okay.
You know. And then the movie theaters were like, how about you're only on video on demand?
We can take care of this real quick.
And then they were like, okay, maybe not so much. And then I know Disney took a lot of heat because for Alice in Wonderland or whatever what was it called?
Alice in Wonderland.
Was it called Alice in Wonderland? Yeah. Okay, I tried to block
it out. The Looking Glass is going to be the sequel.
Go. Thank God there's one of those. but they shortened their window on that till I think like 6 weeks.
Really?
And theaters were not happy, but it was.
Sure, Disney's like, I don't care.
But they still
made over a billion dollars.
It was too big of a release for them to boycott where this is not.
But what did I send you the article, Tom? What was it, 4 weeks? Or when were they going to go?
Yeah, it was pretty quick.
It is going to go on VOD in a few weeks.
Yeah, like I think like that first or second weekend in November, which I thought was weird because if you're going to...
Do it on Halloween.
Right. That's exactly what I was like. Yeah. Then put it out at the end of September or mid-September and then get it on VOD Halloween night with Halloween being Saturday.
I saw it.
So tell us, what is it?
It feels like it should have gone straight to video.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I hated it. It was not, and I like this series.
But
I like this series
to,
a lot.
But it is a very, like, camcorder type series. Like, is it different than the other ones?
So the premise of, yes, it is different. It's different because they try to do different things. So the premise of this one is in the first movie, they reference a house that has burned down. Katie and her sister's childhood home was burnt down. And it turns out that, like, it was the demon in question that burned it down. So the family in this movie live on the property, a new house, but built on the property.
Now, would
of
insurance
the old house.
Cover that? Because I know insurance
a demon
is
burning.
Well, because it doesn't cover acts of God, but that's not
acts
technically
of Satan.
It's not technically an act of
that's
God.
You're explaining why it's not doing good.
Yeah,
if
I'm explaining.
If you can't say in one sentence
exactly,
yeah,
just so it like, should be a TV show. Because everything that you're saying should be a TV show.
I agree.
Yeah.
And that's I think that's why it's not doing real well. I've never heard anyone at a horror convention ever even speak the words Paranormal Activity.
Oh, really? I like one because it's just simple. It's a simple movie. It's to the point.
Yeah.
Right.
The jump scares are there. I liked it. Two is probably just as good. And they start to falter at that point because they're trying to do too much stuff with it. They're trying to get too into the into the movie.
Well, I think it's popular, but more in a mainstream way where the horror fans, I'm sure they've all seen it.
Right.
Because
right.
I've seen some of them.
Yeah.
But after a while, I didn't care anymore.
That's,
I was just like, I don't care about this. It's just the same thing over and over again. Now, I'm not saying one's better than the other or bad, but I just think in a...
Back to our Van Halen metaphor. This is
like mainstream
horror.
This
is Warrant.
Yeah. Yes. That's a great analogy. Yeah. That's wonderful.
Well, but especially the savvy horror fans. Look at that and go, I can make that in 5 minutes.
They wish that they had.
Yeah. Well, first one.
So in this one, like, they find a box. It says there's a mom and a dad and a little girl, and they find a box of VHS tapes and this cassette, like his
and
giant.
The rest of the movie is him trying to find a VCR.
Yeah, right, right. So like they've also the dad. It looks like the dad is like into like a an editor of some. They don't. He's got all of the equipment.
Oh, of course he does.
Yeah,
of
right.
Course, yeah.
So the daughter becomes the focus, pretty much. Like the daughter is being taken possession of, and but it's just like I got about halfway through. I was like, I don't care. Like, and I finished it because I'm like, I'm a completist, and I'm like, yeah. I want to see where it goes. And they've set it
That's
up for
my
another.
Problem.
Yeah. They've set it up for another one.
Well, they always do.
But it was not good.
The problem that I have, and I know one of the films, I don't remember which one it was, but I sat there waving my cane at the TV because they wired the house. They wired the house for video.
Two.
Okay.
It's two because, like, it's a
laptop,
security system.
Yes. The laptop
Yeah.
Okay. The family is falling apart, not believing each other. What's going on? Look at the video.
Yeah, we're all watching it.
You spent a lot of money and time, and nobody decides to look at the video except the teenage daughter.
Oh, that's
toward
the
end.
So that's three.
And so she looks at it and goes, oh, it's like, well, I was the dad.
Yeah.
I would have manning that thing waiting for my kid stealing something out of my, you know,
even started
stealing my
point.
Beer.
Yeah. That's stupid. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a complete, I think they've killed it. I think they honestly have. Yeah.
Back to the box office here. Number eight, Our Brand is Crisis opened. Number eight, $2.8 million.
So, is that open wide?
2,200 screens.
Yeah, oh, okay. So that can't be good.
This is as wide as it's going to get.
Yeah.
It's a political comedy.
It's a comedy?
Kind of, sort of. It's funny in spots. And she, Sandra Bullock plays a disgraced political advisor.
Okay.
Like, how do you disgrace a political advisor? Like, is that possible?
That's like, I don't know what you could possibly do.
Like, what was she caught having morals?
How dare you think for yourself?
Was there a baby with candy that she didn't take or something?
You like, think for yourselfer?
Yeah, and so she gets hired to go run a campaign in Bolivia, but then, of course, her nemesis has also been hired to run a campaign in Bolivia.
Billy Bob Thornton
as James Carville. And,
oh really?
No, I mean essentially
again.
Right. Yeah, and and then you know they engage, and then a lot of it doesn't make sense. I felt because so much of the stuff revolved around these things that they would do to kind of manipulate the public's opinion of candidates.
Okay.
And I didn't believe it would work in Bolivia. Like, I'm like, that might resonate in America, but I don't know that it would resonate in Bolivia. Like, there's a scene where the one politician is talking about his estranged son, and he tears up, and everybody's just so enamored with him for that. And I'm like, I don't know that flies in Bolivia.
Yeah, they kind of want, like, that hardcore.
Yeah. And then
I've never been to Bolivia. So.
Yeah, nor have I, so maybe this is just that. Maybe this is my Craig T. Nelson moment. I don't know. But
better than an F. Gary Gray moment, I guess.
But I was just like, I don't know that they're going to it's only been like the last 10 or 15 years that we want that from politicians.
Yeah,
I don't know that's what they that they would want in Bolivia. And then it was another small part that really bothered me. There was just a throwaway scene where she brings a bottle of salad dressing.
Okay.
And
was it Paul Newman salad?
It was Paul Newman.
I can see how many salads you eat, Tom.
It was
what's that thing with the...
Rabbits would eat.
I don't know why they need dressing. But.
You tend to dip it like chicken wings in it.
So so she has this bottle of salad dressing and somebody sees it and they don't recognize Paul Newman's face.
That's
and
funny.
I was like, hang on.
Yeah.
Hang on just a second. The film nerd in me pops up and says, his most iconic role, maybe his most iconic image that he ever created on scene was him being shot in Bolivia.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. That's a great point.
Is Bolivia completely unaware of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance
Kid?
That's
true. I didn't think about that.
I find that hard to believe.
Yeah. And that's a good point.
Just saying. Anyway.
Maybe they didn't know he had salad dressing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you still think they recognize
the
face.
They would, yes.
Yeah. He doesn't look that radically different. There's a picture of Brandon right there.
Right
I got
there.
The poster
Same
up
guy.
On the wall. Same guy. I would buy salad dressing for that guy if I ate salad.
Yeah.
Okay, let's wrap it up.
So, yeah, I mean, that's a Sandra Bullock, George Clooney production with some pretty big names in it. So, geez, I don't know. Are they going for Oscar buzz? What are they trying to do there?
They were desperately trying to be, like, we were talking earlier, they're dropping movies where other movies have come out that have worked that are similar. This was supposed to be this year's Argo.
And I think that was supposed to be, I don't know if it was supposed to be Clooney, but originally it was supposed to be a man playing the role.
and they swapped genders and had Sandra Bullock do it. She might have been Clooney, who was originally going to be in the role.
Maybe, okay, maybe.
I think people shy away from political movies.
It was weird because
you're getting preached to. It doesn't matter.
Well, you know,
you
but the thing
it,
is that it was one of those political movies where nobody really had a political opinion.
Yeah.
It was just
but it scares people.
Yeah, it does.
You
it does.
Saw it, so you know that. But but I stay away from because like what if I agree with it, I don't need to be preached to. If I don't, I'm just
I don't
want to
hear it.
I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah. Number 9, Crimson Peak in week 3 made $2.7 million, so still taking some big drops. That's at $27.3 million domestic, $26 million foreign, so just a little over $50 million worldwide on its $55 million budget.
All right. Well, I'm sure he's waiting for that Pacific Rim 2 and Justice League Dark money.
He's still he's still fighting to get
it. Pacific Rim 2 and turnaround now, but
oh, is it?
Yeah. Speaking of turnaround, did you see that the what movie got put on was delayed?
No.
Is what's his name's alien movie?
Oh yeah,
Yeah, they're like, we're gonna go ahead and put that on hold.
Oh, somebody finally saw Chappie. we did what?
Plus, Ridley Scott's got like, I mean, Ridley Scott's
got all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. And he announced like 20 alien movies.
Right.
Well, that's the thing that sucks is now, Ridley Scott's making alien sequels to his alien prequel. So it's like, what are you doing?
And I can't help but wonder if The Martian did it in because it was like, we don't need an old guy making tentpole movies. What's that? The old guy just made a tentpole movie? Okay.
Okay, we're going to get him back then.
Hey, we remember Chappie, and if we're going to make another Martian or another Chappie, guess what?
That's too bad because I feel like, I mean, hopefully it happens eventually, but
it was going to take after 2, right? Like it was going to pick up after 2?
Yes.
I feel like this was Neil Blomkamp's redemption because District 9 was so good and there were aliens, obviously, in that setting and with all the art and everything. I mean, this was his comeback, I think.
Or maybe,
to
continue my music metaphor for the episode, maybe he's Meatloaf, right? Maybe this is all he's got in him. Maybe all he had in him was Bad Out of Hell.
Okay, I was going to say, hold on now. But I see where you're going.
Yeah.
That's possible with Josh Trank.
And rounding out the top 10, Steve Jobs, second week in release, $2.5 million, a 65% drop. That's at $14.4 million domestic and foreigns on a $30
million
budget.
More I've read about that, the more people agree with you. That, like, he's an asshole. I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, I could care less about this guy.
It was hard to spend 2 hours with the guy. I just wanted to punch him in the iPod.
Yeah, I've been reading online because I've been trying to figure it out. Like, I think Fassbender was excellent. There was a great cast, a great director, and I was trying to figure it out. And
it was an incredibly well-made movie about a guy that I don't want to spend any time with.
Yeah, And then I think a lot of people online, because I was trying to figure out why is it doing so poorly with all the good things that there are about it, actors, producers, directors, whatever. It was a good-looking film, and a lot of people said it wasn't about anything. It wasn't about iPod. It wasn't about the iMac. I mean, the last scene is it just getting released. But like, it wasn't about all the things that iPad and all those things. It was just about.
And at the end of the day, people know. I think they figured out it's just a 2-hour conversation,
right?
And you don't need to go to the theater to enjoy it. It's when you used to watch Jurassic Park even on your big screen. It's not the same as seeing it in a movie theater.
Right, right.
This movie on your big screen is identical to seeing it in a movie theater, except the soda's cheaper and you can pause and pee.
Right. And I'm telling you, I mean, I know that people give Ashton Kutcher crap for that movie. I guess that was just Jobs, but that is a more entertaining movie. Steve Jobs is well written. It's incredible script by Sorkin, but it's a 2-hour walk and talk.
Yeah.
The Jobs movie is entertaining. It's about Steve Jobs in a garage, him out there hustling, trying to sell computers. Like, at the end of the day, that is an entertaining movie, and it was an interesting story about Steve Jobs' whole life. Yeah. This is just 3 conversations.
So if you take those 2 movies and put them together, television series.
Yeah.
If you had the boring stuff, and then you can have a little bit.
If you had Fassbender's Steve Jobs and you had Danny Boyle directing it, but it was a story of Steve Jobs actually doing stuff instead of just talking, you would have had a huge hit.
Yeah.
It would have been more social
network. I didn't like the Johnny Cash movie because of that.
Yeah.
It was more about his love life.
I know. I was like, good.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you, Kevin.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So I guess that's it for our box office report. We'll go around the table, and everybody can say where to find themselves or push something. We'll let you know, Tim. You don't have anything to push, but you Dan. But
yeah, this is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, Graney.
The Tim Owen Harley Show.com.
Oh, that's okay.
And I'm breaking the tables here. In the see, studio B. This is Studio B, right?
Your temper is out of control.
You just fired up.
Paranormal activity, and that's the kind of crap that
well,
happens.
Well, go to your website. Jeez.
Go now. And are you on Twitter, Facebook, somewhere
yeah,
you want to go?
We're on Facebook, yeah. Okay. And our show's on iTunes as well. But if you go to thetimonharleyshow.com, you can branch out everywhere what we're doing. So
it's one-stop shopping.
One-stop shop.
Awesome.
Yep. This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
I'm Kevin Brackett. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/RealSpoilers. Don't forget, if you would like to continue the conversation online, we will be waiting for you at Facebook.com/RealSpoilers. Or you can email the show at RealSpoilers@ReviewSTL.com or on Twitter at RealSpoilers. That's everything.
Did you mention the Google Play Store?
The Google Play. Oh, yeah, yeah. Google started doing podcasts.
Nice.
And so if you have been holding out to get your podcast via the Google Play, you can go there and find us. So
sweet.
We are now everywhere. Everywhere podcasts, as I like to say, as wherever finer podcasts are sold. And by sold, we mean given away for free.
We're like the Poison Ivy of podcasts.
Precisely.
You thought we...
Was that a Faster Pussycat reference to go with all my music references this episode?
You thought we hit it big when we were on the Zune store, Tom.
Yeah. I think it's they are striking while the iron is hot. Is all those Zune people are like, where do I go for my podcast? Google Play is like, come on in. Timmy Two Zunes.
Yeah.
Come on down. Tim will have bought two new like Android music players.
Yes. Nestle your head against our Google Play bosom. So that's it for this episode. On the next episode, a special belated Halloween episode, a Real Spoilers Rewind. We haven't done one of those in a long time. Sixth Sense was the last and only one. So we are going to take an in-depth look back at Night of the Living Dead, and keep Tim around since he's the horror expert, Joe. It would be silly to get
co-expert.
I can only get so many experts on
it would
the
be
show,
silly
yeah.
to kick him on now.
So many titles.
We brought him in for the box
yeah,
office.
So we will tackle Night of the Living Dead on our next episode. You've been warned. No one give a hand. Concept by concept degree. Blueprints, sorrow placed on the shelf. Crying, weeping, feeling sorry for myself. Halo, tattins, screws loose. Halo, tattins, screws loose.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.